potluck this morning. A couple people came early, and we're trying to set some stuff up, and you know, we weren't exactly sure how it went together. And I said, well, Isaac will be here soon. And then Isaac walked in the door, and I said, you can ask this guy any question. So some smart person came up to him and asked him a question about quantum physics. I know who you were. And Isaac, were you able to answer that? Well, you know what? Bless you for even trying. I've heard those words before, and I think we had a guy who used to come here, Jake Behan. Some of you will know him. He would know exactly the answer, and he would blow you away with it. But do you ever remember ever being asked questions? Maybe it was on a test. That you didn't know the answer. Okay, any current students, you didn't know the answer to a question on a test. I'm not going to call you out or anything. Just hands up. Okay, yeah. The rest of you are lying. So that's fine. But when that time came, I mean, what do you do when that happens? You don't know the answer. Now, some people just leave it blank, right? They don't answer the question. Others make it up. Others make it up, like Isaac did this morning. Listen to some actual answers given by, these were high school students, so these are real answers given to real test questions. And notice how creative they got with their answers. The first question, briefly explain what hard water is. The answer? Right. Like you'd think that's what it was. That's not the answer, but that's the answer that was given. Question, how can you delay milk turning sour? Keep it in the cow. What is a fibula? The answer? A small lie. One other question. What is a seizure? Answer? A Roman emperor. Hail Caesar. Question was, what does the word benign mean? Answer, benign is what you will be after you be eight. It's not a lie. It's not a fibula. I remember our daughter had a question on a test. Wasn't quite the same way, but, you know, I think, was it in university? Yeah, it was in university. And there was this complicated question, very complicated math question. She was in the honors math program, nothing to do with me. I know it didn't follow through my genes or anything like that. But she was in this, had this complicated math question, and part, a lot of the answer was how you got, a lot of the marks were how you got to the answer. So you had to show how you worked it out. She instantly knew the answer and had no idea how to get there. So she wrote the answer, and in between, she wrote, poof. Correct answer, one mark for the way you got there. The teacher liked that, poof. And so she got a mark for it. Of course, she passed that test. The point of all of that this morning is that sometimes we don't know the answers. Sometimes we don't know the answers. And so we get creative. Some students have even found in all of that that the more impressive sounding the answer, the more likely someone else will believe that you actually know what you're talking about. Well, as we continue growing toward living in the fullness of God, which is the theme for us this year that we've chosen, living in the fullness of God, as we continue to grow toward that, we need to have a basic understanding of who we are in Him. And this week, we're continuing that series that we talked about to look at our identity as God's people, God's chosen, God's family, simply called chosen. We saw last week that as God's people, He has, first of all, chosen and redeemed us. We talked about that. We looked at a whole bunch of different things to do with that. This week, we're considering that God has changed, or, love the $60 word, sanctified us. These are actually biblical concepts and ideas that we should have some basic understanding of. And so our word for today is sanctified or sanctification. Wow. For many people, this is a very intimidating Bible concept. And there are a couple of reasons for that. First of all, it's intimidating because people who study these things have sometimes unintentionally made it really hard to understand. As they've tried to communicate the meaning of certain ideas or words, and the more complicated their explanations, the more intimidating it becomes for the rest of us. One of those people explained the word, you know, we said that God has chosen us, he's redeemed us. This week we're saying that God has changed us, he's sanctified us. One of those people explained sanctification this way. In a doctrinal sense, sanctification is the making truly and perfectly holy what was before defiled and sinful. It is a progressive work of divine grace upon the soul justified by the love of Christ. The believer is gradually cleansed from the corruption of his nature and is at length presented unspotted before the throne of God. Now you know what sanctification is. I've always struggled with that stuff a little bit. I don't know about you. I mean, I know maybe one person who talks like that or even thinks like that. And he's a PhD professor of philosophy at Providence University and College Theological Seminary in Manitoba. Now, I'm pretty sure that the writer of this paragraph meant well. But the explanation seems just a little bit complicated. And so today I'm going to let you in on a secret. The word sanctified or sanctification is not that complicated. Sanctified simply means set apart or separated. In the biblical context, it means set apart as holy or declare holy, to consecrate. And so, for example, in the most basic context of the meaning, the worship team is sanctified. Okay, do you get that? In the most basic form of the meaning, the worship team was sanctified because they were separated from the rest of us. They were set apart from the rest of us in the worship area. And while we're here in this building, we're sanctified. We're separated from others in the Pioneer Park area who aren't here now. So we're set apart right at the moment. We're separated at the moment. Separated and set apart, that's the basic meaning of the word sanctification or sanctified. So it's not that hard a word to understand, but it has become intimidating because it's been often described in fairly complicated ways. The second reason that sanctification seems intimidating to us is that in the original Greek and Hebrew words, Hebrew, Old Testament, Greek, what the New Testament was written in, those words for sanctify are translated in so many different ways in the English Bible. So the Hebrew word for sanctified is kadosh, and the Greek word is hagios. And I know you don't really care, but they're up there on the screen to impress you. Thank you. When you find those Hebrew and Greek words translated in our English Bibles, you'll find that they're translated sanctification, sanctified, consecrated, purified, holy, hallowed, and saint. No matter how it's translated, though, it's the same concept. It doesn't matter if we're talking sanctification, consecration, being holy or pure. It's all about us being set apart for God. That's what it means. We're sanctified. We're set apart for God. Now, there are a couple parts of this sanctification process that I want to note this morning. There are a couple parts to this process. The first one is that God sets us apart. Back in the Old Testament, God told the Israelites, keep my statutes, keep my laws, keep my instructions, and do them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Keep my decrees and follow them. I am the Lord who makes you holy. That's what the NIV. That's one translation. Remember, it says translated different ways depending on, you know, what version you might be reading. They're not wrong because they're different. They just are. And so the ESV says, keep my statutes, do them, because I am the Lord who sanctifies you. keep my decrees and follow them. I am the Lord who makes you holy. Same thing. Who sanctifies you, who sets you apart to be holy. And so it is God that sets us apart. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul writes about the people who, sadly so, he writes about the people who won't make it to heaven. And then he writes this. He says, and that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So by the Spirit of our God means that he was the one who cleansed and made you holy and made you right and sanctified you. Again, another version says some of you were once like that, but you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. God sanctifies people. As we said last week, he chooses us, he redeems us. And through the forgiveness of our sins and his Holy Spirit living in us, he changes us, he sanctifies us, he sets us apart for him and from the rest of the world. And when you and I invited Jesus into our lives, God picked us up out of the sin of this world and set us down in his kingdom as a visual way. He picked us up and put us in his kingdom. And in Colossians 1:13 talks about that. It says, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. It's that set apart idea. It's that separated idea. When we were saved from sin, we were sanctified. We were set apart. We were set apart to receive God's forgiveness and his blessings and his love and the promise of heaven. And it's an ongoing process all of our lives. He is helping us to become more like him, that idea of being holy. And as we become more like him, we become more, more sanctified. We are sanctified. We're set apart. But there's this process through our lives where we continue to be sanctified. And as we become more like him, I guess you could say we become a little more sanctified in that process. And yet we already are. It's a bit of a head thing. And so as we become more like him, we become more holy. Now, we could spend a whole lot of time considering how God has set us apart and sanctified us, but I'd like to focus on the second part of how we experience sanctification. So, number one, God sets us apart from this world. Secondly, there's a part of this whole process in which, and stay with me now for you who have talked about this a lot in your lives, there's a part of the whole process in which God expects us to sanctify ourselves from this world. Remember the basic meaning? Set apart, separated. There's a part of this process where God expects you to sanctify yourself. And that's what Peter talks about in 1 Peter 15:16. Just as God, who called you, is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Remember, holy, sanctified, and saint, they're all describing that same concept. They all come from the same root, Hebrew and Greek words. Holy is when somebody or something is set apart by God or for God. And in this verse, we're being told that we need to sanctify ourselves. We need to set ourselves apart for God. There's a part of that where God has done that, but then on that continuing journey, God says, be holy because I am holy. So, of course, the question is, how do I do that? How do I set myself apart so I please God? Now, it's an issue. The first thing that we do is we identify with Jesus. We identify with Jesus, and here we go back to the idea we talked about last week, redeemed. I hope this sounds familiar because we read this last week where Peter writes in 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, for you know it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. If you want to sanctify yourself with God, then you need to be firm and bold about who you belong to. In the Old Testament, the high priest, he dressed really differently. than anyone else in the whole camp. He even dressed differently, the high priest did, than all the other priests. Every day of his life, the high priest dedicated himself to serving God. And when you looked at him, there was no mistaking who he belonged to, because fixed to his head covering on a golden plate were engraved the words, "Holy to the Lord." Holy to the Lord. Sanctified. Set apart. Everywhere he went, there was a visual declaration, basically on his forehead, that he was set apart for God. And Jesus tells us in the New Testament that the way that we show that today, you don't have to wear a gold plate on your forehead that says that, but the way that Jesus says we show that today is, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify you. So it says, glorify your Father in heaven. That's how it shows on us today. Not with things across our heads or anything like that, but let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Why should I do good things? So that God will be glorified. The thing is, you see, many people do good deeds so that they get the credit, so that they will be noticed and appreciated, so that they get a pat on the back and people notice them. But that's not how it's to be. For the Christ, I think all of us like to be appreciated. I think all of us, whether you want to say, not me, all of us want to be liked. And so, yeah, we get that there's that idea that even as we do something for folks or we do an act of kindness, it's nice to be appreciated. It's nice when someone says thanks. And so that's okay. That's good to feel like that. You don't have to be a martyr in doing good deeds. But the Christ follower who is set apart, who is holy, who is sanctified, the Christ follower who is holy or set apart will do good deeds so that God gets the credit, so that God gets the glory, so that people will notice who you belong to. And when that happens, when our deeds point to God and acknowledge Him, then God says, all right, now they get it. They've acknowledged me. And the good news about that is that Jesus said in the book of Matthew, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. And so the first step towards sanctifying yourself or being involved in that process is to identify with Jesus, to be firm and bold about your commitment to following Christ. Secondly, we sanctify ourselves to God by how we live. 1 Peter 1:14 tells us this. So you must live as God's obedient children. We're part of God's family. He's our Father. You must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. He's saying, don't go back to those sinful ways. Do all you can not to go back to those ways. And this is a central concept in the idea of holiness. That which is holy doesn't dabble in sin. After all, sin was what God separated us from. Remember, He picked us out of that kingdom of darkness and set us into His kingdom of light. And so sin is what He separated us from, and not just from the sin itself, but also from the consequences of sin. Now, ultimate consequences of sin, because in our lives, when we do stuff that's wrong, there are often times that we live with the consequences. But what God freed us from was not only sin, but that ultimate consequence of being separated from Him. He freed us from that. And so as He delivers us from sin, as He redeems us, we also have the promise of eternity with Him. I mean, even the world understands this concept, because if people who are not followers of Jesus see a Christian being mean or swearing or getting drunk or sleeping around, what do they call that kind of Christian? Yeah, a hypocrite. A hypocrite. They call them that because they're being sinful rather than sanctified. The Second Chronicles, back in the Old Testament, chapter 29, verse 5, tells us about the time that a guy named King Hezekiah said this to the Levites. They were of the priestly tribe back then. Now sanctify yourselves. sanctify the house of the Lord, God of your fathers, and carry out the rubbish from the holy place. Jan does that every week here, just about. I really like the Expanded Bible, because that's what this second one is. Same verse. This is called the Expanded Bible. Hezekiah said, "Listen to me, Levites. Make yourselves ready for the Lord's service." And here's all the ways it can be translated that word. Consecrate, purify, sanctify yourselves. And make holy, consecrate, purify, sanctify, the temple or the house of the Lord, the God of your ancestors, fathers. Remove from the temple or the house everything that makes it impure, that's defiled, ritually unclean. It sort of expands that, and it gives us some of the different ways that that word could be translated. And you know, being involved in your part of sanctification means that sometimes you have to do some house cleaning. I don't mean your home, your building you live in. I mean this house here. Sometimes you have to do some house cleaning once in a while. You've got to get the rubbish out of your life, out of your house. I mean, if you tend to say mean-spirited things, if you use God's name carelessly or swear, get it out of your life. If that's part of your life, get it out of your life. If you abuse alcohol or drugs, get them out of your life. I know that's easy for me to stand up here and say, and when you're caught and trapped by that, it's a process and you need help and you need a support around you to do that. But do everything you can to do that. If you're involved in sexual immorality, whether it's pornography or sex outside of God's plan, clean it up. Clean it up. But being holy, living in sanctification, this set apart for God, isn't just about stuff we don't do in our lives. It's also about what we do. Sanctification is about how we live our lives. And I'm going to read a few verses here from Psalm 15, 1-5 from the New Living Translation. It says this way, "Who may worship in your sanctuary, Lord? Who may enter your presence on your holy hill?" In other words, let me just stop there. In other words, that place that is set apart is special for God. That's what that means, that on your holy hill, a place that's set apart is special for God. "Those who lead blameless lives and do what is right, speaking the truth from sincere hearts, those who refuse to gossip or harm their neighbors or speak evil of their friends, those who despise flagrant sinners," that's people who just put it right out there, don't care, just keep on doing it no matter what, "and honor the faithful followers of the Lord and keep their promises even when it hurts." He's saying so positively also for those who lend money without charging interest and who cannot be bribed to lie about the innocent. Such people will stand firm forever. So you notice that David not only spoke of the things we shouldn't do, and I know that's a full screen, and I'm sorry about that, but I wanted to keep it all together so you can see that there. David not only spoke of the things we shouldn't do, but also what we should do. You see, sanctifying yourself is about more than what you don't do. A major part of it is what you do and who you do it for. Jesus said this to the Pharisees, the religious leaders of his day. And in the book of Matthew, we read this. "What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites. For you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes," he says, "but do not neglect the more important things." You see, the Pharisees had all the rules down. They had all the rules down. They even added more rules, but they didn't show love to others. Sanctification, more than what you don't do, it's also about what you do and who you do it to and for. And something that I admire about our church family here is that people here do that. I see that. You visit when someone's sick. You visit when someone's in the hospital. You write letters or cards of encouragement, or you give your resources to help those who are in need. You invite folks over or out to a restaurant to eat and visit without it being something on the church calendar. Now, I'm not taking potluck off the calendar. That's organized. That's on the church. That's a different thing. And when I see or hear that, I see or hear those things going on, it's such an encouragement to me. I see you talking to each other, and sometimes I don't even know who it is you're talking to. That's awesome. That's cool. Because you're doing that. You're being those people. That's part of what it means to be sanctified. It goes beyond that, though, and you do that too, not just for one another, but for others in our communities as well. Well, I guess one more thing. Remember the idea of sanctification carries the idea of holiness? There are a couple of very powerful reasons why we should sanctify ourselves. I mean, isn't that it? Why bother? Why bother? Part of the reason I think that you should bother is because we believe that life with Jesus is better than life without him. That's something we believe. That's something we hold to, that life with Jesus is better than life without. And so there are a couple of reasons why we should do that, why we should be involved in that process, why we should live lives that are holy in God's sight. First is that we see the Lord. We see him. We understand. We get to be involved in what he's doing in and through us. And there's a verse in Hebrews chapter 12:14, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. You get nervous at all? Maybe not. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. The New Living Translation puts it this way: work at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. So does that mean if I'm not holy that I won't make it to heaven? Do you have another translation by any chance? Anybody? I think it pretty much means that. And that might sound kind of mean. I mean, how could a loving God keep people out of heaven just because they weren't holy? Let me suggest we think about it this way in a very earthly term. Let's say a multi-millionaire, I guess you have to be a billionaire this nowadays because millionaire, big deal. But let's say a multi-millionaire comes to you and says, I'd love to have you come and live with me in my mansion. You can eat my food. You can sleep in awesome huge beds. You can swim in my pool. You can drive any one of my 17 cars. You can use my yacht. Take my jet to any location on the planet. Bring your family. And you say, I'm in. But then you say just a few conditions. A few conditions. I don't ever want to eat with you. Okay, so we don't ever want to eat with you. I don't want to ever spend any time talking to you. Okay? That's all right. In fact, I don't even want to have you in the same room. Basically, I don't want to see you. Essentially, you'd be saying, I want your stuff. I want all the benefits that come with that, but I don't want anything to do with you. You see, someone who wants to get to heaven, if I can say, without setting themselves apart for God, is telling God the same thing. I want heaven. I want all the blessings, but I don't want you. And do you know what God says to that person? Sorry. It's a package deal. You don't get heaven without me. If you want heaven, you have me as well. And so, yes, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. That's the bad news, but here's the good news. And we find part of this in a verse in Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, reading from the New King James Version. Joshua said this to people, sanctify, consecrate, purify, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. You see that? You see that? Once they sanctified themselves, God planned to do something amazing among them. And you know what I think that means? I think that means if you take this idea of setting yourself apart for God seriously, God will do things in your life as well that will quite possibly amaze you. And this isn't the only time in the Bible that we see this promise. In 2 Chronicles, we had referred to this book earlier, there's a verse that says, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. You see, God's looking for someone. He's looking for people who will be fully committed to Him so He can do something inspiring and awesome in their lives. What is that? I don't know. Maybe it's in your job. Could be in your relationships. Could be something else in your personal life. It doesn't mean everything's going to go well in your life. But in subtle and perhaps not so subtle and powerful ways, God will bless you as you sanctify yourself to Him. In fact, God tells us that we don't have to worry about anything because His grace is sufficient for us, and it's from His grace that God does great things in, through, and for us. Well, I think it's important that we have a little grasp, at least, on some of these things. We talked about what God was like for a number of weeks. And now we're looking at who we're like, who we are in standing with God. We're redeemed, we're chosen, we're redeemed. And God changes us, He sanctifies us, but we have a part in that. So who are we in our standing before God? For those who have decided to follow Jesus, we're redeemed, we're bought with a price, and we're sanctified, we're set apart for God, sanctified by Him when we come to Him, and continually sanctified as we live in the ways that He has called us to live. Let's pray. Lord, Your word is challenging to us. There are some words and concepts in there that at times we find difficult and challenging to understand. But I thank You that we can understand them. That, Father, as we simply look at them and understand what it says, and as we share that together, we can understand that big word, sanctified, just means to be set apart. It means to be set apart for You, set apart to be holy. That's what You've called us to. And there are ways that we can do that. Father, we've shared some of them today. I pray that You would help us. Sometimes it sounds like pretty heady, but I pray that You would help us to live sanctified lives. At least help us to move towards that in better ways each day, and in living for You in ways that are pleasing for You. As we read Your word, Lord, I pray that You would show us what that means for us all the more, that we would learn as we see You, as we experience the things that You want to do in, through, and for us. So thank You. Thank You. In Your precious name, amen.